you know, when I was a kid and I would see all the non-Jewish kids, they would walk with McDonald's, they would walk with after school with all these amazing things. I would like get a waft of it and I'd be like, oh.
Yes.
And then my mother would be like, supper. And it was like meatloaf or stew. And I'm like, oh, I can't have this soup. Before we get started, I got a shout out to my brother Shmuley. It's his birthday. Happy birthday. Says he's a big fan.
Aww.
And my little sister Yehudis, if I didn't say hi, to Raven from Yehudis. There it is.
Thank
Let
you.
Let the record state.
Hi, Yehudis. Yeah. And Shmuley.
Happy birthday.
Shmuley, happy birthday.
Hi. Do they care for me? Do they want me to say anything?
No. You know what? I don't know that they know.
Fine.
But
do they not know
now.
That it's our fifth anniversary today, our five-year
oh my
anniversary
God.
Today?
Yeah.
Are
is.
You kidding? Why are you here?
Because we need to get
you're
that
here.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Because you're here.
Oh, my God. It's my mother's birthday also. It's my brother, Shmuley.
Oh.
My mother. She doesn't know how to use podcasts, but it is my mother's birthday as well.
Love
happy birthday,
her.
Mom.
Happy
what's
birthday,
her name?
Mom. Her name is Constance. Happy birthday,
happy
Mom.
Happy birthday, Constance.
Yeah.
We are so
happy
excited to be back here for another episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda.
Today on the pod, we
wow,
are joined.
What a ring, Miranda.
Yeah.
Whoa, Rave. You did your shit.
No, actually, I bought it myself. I bought it and picked it myself.
Oh, sure, the one
that
I bought you.
Wait, there's two.
Yeah, I right, bought her that one.
You bought her this one.
And then I upgraded myself. Let me upgrade you.
I think this one's nicer.
It's blue.
Give it to me again.
Yes,
give it to
I
me again.
I was going to say.
I like
can
the
you
blue
see
too?
The light blue?
I can.
And
I think it's
different.
A little icier.
Yes,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I like this.
I had ring goals for myself.
Yeah.
I had a vision. And what did you buy Gabby, your wife?
Well, oh, here's the whole thing. I was going to propose to my wife May 1st. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we ended up getting married through the fires in January. So my plans, I was building a ring, which I think would have been the
building.
Nicest ring anybody's ever seen. Not to get Trump on you.
But
it's not a ring like I've ever seen. And then when we were evacuating, you know, when we evacuated, we were going to go to Palm Springs or go to Joshua, which
we
is somewhere
went
to nearby.
That's what
we
did.
We went
to
Palm
yeah,
Springs.
We went to Palm Springs.
But we couldn't get anybody on the phone to give us a room or something because we evacuated at like 5 a.m. Because Gab's like, I smell smoke. Should we go? And as soon as I said yes. And she was like, that's when she got scared because she was like, she thought I would tell her to go back to bed or it's okay. But I never want to take a chance. I'm like, yeah, if she's asking me, that's a yes.
Right. Yeah.
So we couldn't get anyone on the phone. So I said, babe, you know what? For an hour and a half more. You know where they have hotels, no problem, any time of day? Vegas, baby.
Ooh.
And then as soon as we figured out, okay, we're going to continue driving for an hour and a half to get to Vegas, she was like, should we get married? And then
that's
I was like,
so cute.
It coming from her, I didn't want to take it seriously because I've been proposing basically since I met her. I'm like, this is very serious. You know.
So you knew she was your person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she knew too, but it's always come from me. And so when it came from her, I was like, no, it's the fire talking. And then when we were like every day, like then we got to this hotel room, which shout out to Resorts World who hooked us up.
Oh, good for yeah. you. Okay, Resorts World.
Gabby knew somebody there and they were like, of course, stay as long as you can. We Aww. Had like the most luxurious evacuation.
As you should.
We walk into the room and it's like the penthouse. It looks like a wedding suite. So I was like, oh my God, it's like a wedding suite. And she was like, we should get married. And then literally by day three, like she kept bringing it up, but by day three of us still being evacuated, she was like, I am going to Neiman Marcus and buying a dress.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, I got to go to Cartier.
So just I walk in, real quick.
I cross the street.
For her ring.
For all of our rings. I walked into Cartier looking homeless. And they were like
real rich
you
people
know,
do.
Yeah. Can they,
Balenciaga.
Can we help you? And
they didn't pretty woman you.
I mean, I really walked in, not like the cool.
Got
like,
it.
You mm-hmm. know, I was still in the same, I hadn't fully unpacked. We snuck a cat in, so we had a lot in the car.
Love that.
Yeah, and I was like, I got to get three rings.
What's the third for?
I bought us each a wedding band and an engagement. I still wanted to propose.
Oh, okay. Love that.
So you got married in Vegas. That's amazing.
So how did you propose to her?
It was incredible. I recommend. It was the greatest wedding we've ever been to.
So it was just the two of you. And who was your witness?
It was our, no, we had Reverend Nature.
Wow, Reverend Nature.
She was wearing Yeezys. She was just hype to the most. Her cousin Nate, Big Nate, he took all our photos. $7.99. We got the deluxe package.
There you go.
It included the limousine, the photos.
Now, what year was this limousine from? 1997?
No, maybe. I don't know. It was just tremendous. It was amazing. And when we called them, we were like, do you have any opening 6 o'clock? They're like, yeah, our busy time is like midnight. Like, I guess people are drunk. And,
yeah.
Waiting for Britney Spears to come back.
Britney Spears, yeah, I was going to say.
We were stone sober, 6 p.m., giddy as all hell.
I love it.
And just, our wedding song we picked when they're like, what do you want your song? We were like, we don't know. We picked
Chapel Roan. Yeah.
Hot to Go.
Yes.
We walked down to that. Then our first song was But Daddy, I Love Him, Taylor Swift.
God.
We picked all these just going. And I proposed the day before. We had one day of an engagement, the greatest engagement day anybody has ever had.
Not to get all Trump on you.
Okay. So I knew always I was going to propose this way, but I didn't know I was going to do it professionally. Mm. They've been very good to me at the New York Times, and they've written some nice articles about me. So I was going to try and see if I could get in there, because we do all those games in the morning. We do the mini crossword, like the Wordle connections.
Wordle. Yeah.
Right. So we call it, want to do the wordy crossy. We love that time together. So I was going to see if they could make a New York Times mini.
Oh, wow. That would have been amazing.
For me. Well, no, but instead, it was so last minute. I called my friend David. Shout out to David Kaplan, who worked at Google and in tech for years and does like coding. I said, David, I need you to make me the mini crossword. It has to look exact. You have to code this tonight. I don't know what it takes. I have no idea. And he's like, I can't for tomorrow. I said, I can't hear. I can't.
I
don't get married. I don't get married.
Obviously. And that's on David Kaplan.
I helped him out with his wife years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So he owed you one favor, bro.
And he got it the fuck done.
Yes.
So in the morning, and I red herringed her. I tricked her. I said, babe, I would wear running shoes for a walk this afternoon. So she thinks I'm going to mini propose on the walk.
Yeah.
She is, right? She doesn't know the morning we're just doing our Wordle crosser. I pull this up and she's like, you're starting without. I knew. I always say, well, it futz around. So she gets into bed and the first was like a deed or a thing. Will you, a Taylor Swift song, marry, tie the knot. She was not getting these clues.
She wasn't?
Tie the knot. I'm like, I think it's marry. And then the last one, like marry me. And then it was Gabby. We did. David came up with the clue, chatty.
Chatty Gabby.
Chatty, like chatty or talkative. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Kathy?
Oh my gosh.
That's my wife.
Yeah.
But she gets them all the time. The thing is that she was already once, she's always looking at the downs.
Yeah.
While we're doing, she's like, that's not going to make sense. So, you know, she's like a doctor. She's, you know, she's an ICU nurse, basically. So she's always thinking, she's always like, this is not going to be working. We had tumultuous
childhoods
to some extent. So getting to heal it as grown-ups, and we're not childlike. We're extremely responsible and grown-up. I also don't like being infantil. Like, we do live a very grown-up life, mm-hmm. but we get to have the life, you know, and kind of... you know, have the things and the kind of life that we wanted that we weren't able to when we were younger.
And also, I think that part of the beauty of being in a long-term committed relationship or being married is that you get to do that work. You get to mirror things. You get to be that childlike self that needs to heal and play around and figure yourself out while you're in a safe space to process things with another person. Mm-hmm. Because I think that when you're in the right relationship, what you realize is that person just becomes the steady constant that allows you to grow and
especially if you're the
develop
seventh,
on your own.
Especially if you're the seventh of 10 kids, that's like, you need that mirror in your relationship in order to, I'm only imagining to work out through all of the, what it feels like to be a kid of 10.
No, I know. But you know what, before, it's like, we're also not we feel good together. We don't, like, I don't know, like, our relationship feels
correct.
Yeah, just the best. I also feel like it's like a very steady, like, I don't know. It's kind of like I had PTSD. I have PTSD from an unstable childhood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what they said. Basically, there was three kinds of PTSD they were telling us. One was like incurable. It's like chronic or complex or something like this, where it's like it's normally associated with bipolar and other mental health issues. And it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There's the other one you hear about, you know about more frequently if you've had an assault or war or mm-hmm. the nightmare mm-hmm. kind. Mm-hmm. And then there's mine, which is just like, it's a film over your life. It's just, it's a little bit of the, it's the least aggressive, but it's omnipresent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically I'm triggered by life. Fiddle-dee.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So basically sending an email or things like that. But I've noticed that over the years, as I have more good years, right? Like I always have nightmares. Every night I have nightmares. But I've noticed that over the years, as I'm starting to accumulate more good years over bad years, my I still have dreams. Mm-hmm. They're not as, like, they're getting better.
That's so like, good,
Robbie. It took, so there's things like that.
And you feel like Gabby helps
Gabby
with
and
that.
I both self-healed a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I guess before we were there, we just knew we were ready for this. And we're, like, in our, like, life era.
Yeah, that's
together.
Beautiful.
So a lot of the healing was probably, by the way, it never stops or whatever. But she's also extremely emotionally intelligent. Mm. So we're able, and she loves to talk about relationship. We can talk. And she loves it. So it's great.
My good lesbians.
And I talk a lot too.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I did for my wife when we got married was tell her that I'm going to be making sacrifices to move forward because I know how important. I know how important it is to understand that you're in this committed relationship with your partner, and there's things that in my single life doesn't really transfer into my, you know.
Like what?
Like not going to eat at McDonald's ever again.
Oh, really? I like to do that once a month, maybe once a week.
But you worked there. So my question is, if I get a Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
Never had the Filet-O-Fish.
But why? It's one of the most delicious things on the menu.
For me, I leave it. To me, the Filet-O-Fish, I think it's cultural appropriation. I leave it to the Asian populations. Mm. This is their sandwich.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is their sandwich.
But it's pollock, though. It's pollock.
What's that mean?
That means it comes from the northern. It's like northern.
So it's like the white fishermen.
Yeah, it's the white fishermen. It's not like
tuna.
But
that's their order when they come in.
Yeah, that's it?
Yeah, them and the Amish.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
we
Raven.
Used to have Amish people.
The Amish,
and
the Asians, and Raven.
Yeah, I love a fish. Okay, so what did the Amish people order? The fish?
The fish.
And so what do you get?
I get the McChicken, but I've been really into the double cheeseburger meal.
Interesting.
Because you get more, and it's just, this is what I tell people at McDonald's. Order the Happy Meal. All you need is a taste.
It's true.
Right? It's so true.
All you really need is a taste.
It's true.
Growing up, my whole life, when we would go to McDonald's, my mom would always get a Happy Meal. I don't remember what I would get. I was more of a Burger King person.
But I never had sandwich. McDonald's growing up. I grew up kosher. So for me, all I wanted was
you,
a nugget.
All
you
wanted
was get a nugget.
You grew up kosher. When did you stop eating kosher?
At 19.
And what was your, do you remember your first
egg
time?
Egg McMuffin with bacon.
And wow.
Incredible. I had it every single day for the next month.
Blew your mind.
It's still amazing.
So did you just throw your whole Hasidic upbringing
out
at that
time? No, everything
was
very slow. It's like a transition. You know, first you're doing this a little less. First I'm eating outside of the house. Then maybe I'll have small things, you know, unkosher food outside the house. Like just small things. And then one day... I mean, for me, growing up kosher, it's taught me a lot about temptation. I'm very good with temptation. I'm very good with not having everything I want. Mm-hmm. I want most of what I want, but I'm pretty good at 90%, which is a high level of getting
what
you
want.
That's
really good. Yeah, really good.
But, you know, when I was a kid and I would see all the non-Jewish kids, they would walk with McDonald's. They would walk with, after school, with all these amazing things. I would, like, get a waft of it, and I'd be like, oh.
Yes.
And then my mother would be like, supper. And it was like meatloaf or stew. And I'm like, oh, I can't have this soup. See this mic. I was like, so I'm like, stew again. Like, and she would just like, she had a vat this big.
I'm sure.
And until that crock pot was done, I'm like, you can't be serious. And but you know what? After eating her stew, I would be full. I'd go play and do my homework or whatever. So it's like that time, it passed. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why it's fed. Like some people like short term, like I'm slow and steady wins the race for that reason. It's like, you know, people like, oh, well, marriage and same person. It's like, sure, I guess you can see different things. To me, it's like, it's just such a passing nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not even something that ever affects me because I think of that strict diet to some extent, mm-hmm. not getting any, you know, but now getting most of it. So I don't need to have everything. I'm not King Tut, but I like to have a lot of it. For the kosher, fair. For the Egg McMuffin, I remember it was Passover, which is an even stricter diet where they limit bread and all this stuff. There was no kosher food near the school. And I remember I had exams and it was like 8 a.m. and I did well on the exam and I was starving after. Mm. And I remember thinking like there's a McDonald's across the street that has breakfast. I also saw a Big Daddy and I heard the breakfast time, you got to get in. And I was like, it's still breakfast because I remember getting out of exam maybe half hour early, maybe it was 8 to 9:30. Mm-hmm. But I got in there and it was amazing.
It is. Did amazing. You have any fear? Were you kind of like,
no,
did your PTSD kick in? You know what I mean?
No. It was excellent.
Wow.
Did you put jam on it?
No. Was that a thing?
Oh, that's a Southern thing.
That's a Raven thing.
No, that's a Southern thing. You put jam.
I do like, true. It's so funny because I like toast, jam, and egg together.
Oh, you got to put a jam on that Egg McMuffin.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
How is coming out for you?
I was outed pretty brutally.
Yeah?
17 or 18 years old by this bitch, Carrie. We won't.
God damn it, Carrie.
No, I don't want to be gay. I wouldn't encourage it. I know people are very into it now. But if you don't have to be gay, you know, it's like gay guys are always telling like, you know, the It Gets Better campaign. They never came to the dikes for it. We'd be like, it gets much worse.
Yeah.
Like you're going to want to get some canned goods. You know, you have people not telling like gay kids in Arkansas to come out. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I said, be careful.
Hold your horses. You know, yeah.
So no, for me, it was very much, I just was not into having another thing. I was already poor. I was already like living on my own. I was already like trying to do school whilst working full time pretty much. And I just like my whole ticket was I'm going to marry rich because I got good dick back then.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I did pretty good.
Wow.
I was a cutie. I got a great figure.
Yeah.
And I had a good personality. Triple threat.
Yeah.
Oh, give me that D.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I was really just going to marry like a rich Jewish guy. Mm-hmm. I was in that community. It was one step, you know.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, you were okay with the idea of having kids?
I thought I would have 6 or 7 kids.
Damn.
Yeah. I always thought I would have kids, but I didn't also think about what my life would be. Like this life is way better. Like I think having kids is not having kids. Like we say having kids, I think it's like, do you want this lifestyle?
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Do you want to get up at 6, go to make breakfast and do activities? I don't want to do these activities.
Yeah.
My life now, I love my life.
What time do you wake up?
I wake up.
Period.
I wake up. 9.
9:30.
8:30, 9:45. I work nights. I do stand up. I have a very full day writing and doing different things, podcasts and this, and I do a show or two in the evening, home by 11. We're chatting, giggling, cuddling, going to bed.
It's perfect.
And it's just, I don't want, like having kids is one thing, but your whole life, like it's just, it's a total, it's like saying, do I want to be an engineer now?
Yeah.
Like, no, I have no interest to go back to school and then work. It's like you take on a totally different career and life.
We've been going back and forth. Like, for the longest time in our relationship, we were like, no kids. And then I'm over here, I guess, in my feels for this period. And I'm like, I want kids. And she's like, I don't know. We go back and forth so freaking much.
But I what think I like foster about, to adopt if you want to see about it or try it out.
But what I like about what you said is that it's a lifestyle. I like that idea.
It helps. But that's so true.
It is. It's a very good way of putting it.
100% an entire
lifestyle
shift.
Do I want a new job?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
No. I've been building this one. But, you know, for me, adopting, first of all, we're not having kids. We are building this life. Yes. Okay. So just know that we are here. We are taking a page. It's time for Dykes to learn from gays. Double income, no kids. Let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. Cars, bottles, pool. Let's go. Okay. But if we were, yes, I do like 15. I like the idea of a 9-year-old. First of all, anyone. I like the idea of having a conversation with someone. Like, do you even like me? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you expecting? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be doing hockey. I'm not lugging that type of a bag. Soccer. Okay, it's a smaller bag.
Yeah.
You know, what are you expecting from me? Do you even like me? Mm-hmm. I think I would be, if I had a kid who had a better life than me, I'd mm-hmm. be like that, you know, old parent, like when I was your age, mm-hmm. I did this and that. Somebody who had it worse than me, tougher than me, there's more of a balance. I'm going to teach you everything I can. This system is totally against you. Yeah. Let me give you the tricks and what I fucking, if I can help you get even one foot ahead, mm-hmm. I can be a better parent. I would be a better parent to that than the cushy type of kid born. I wouldn't like an ingrate. I wouldn't like a kid who just had everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the relatability would be for that. And then my third argument, and I'm almost done, is that either way I would be adopting.
Right. Yeah.
So once we're adopting, we're adopting.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to somebody else. We're not doing my egg. The buck ends here.
Yeah.
Why would I do this to somebody else?
This meaning the genetics?
Like me, I wouldn't carry this on. You know, yeah. I don't need some kid coming to me at 6 and being like, so you knew that I'd be this nervous. I'm like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
My mental health. Welcome.
I feel the same way, and I think that there's parts of it that I definitely agree with. But then I also know how important it is, especially coming from the cultural background that I come from,
which is
Black, Southern.
Just black Southern. Wow.
Creole. We have European. Okay. We have all kinds of things. But when
Do you
I bring
speak French.
But not because my family taught me, because I went to school for it a little bit. But I was saying that. There is this idea you were talking about imprinting, and I think that, you know, we talk about this a lot, but every soul has their avatar, which is our body, and that soul comes down to this planet and has a plan for themselves. As parents, egotistical or narcissistic or not, we're like, we want to make the best life for this child. We're going to teach it everything that we know, and we're going to give it the best chance it needs. And we don't know if what we do, which normally it just kind of goes sour and they hate us anyway. I think one of the things that Miranda and I could probably agree on if we did get a younger child that we could quote unquote imprint on is how to maneuver in life. Not necessarily mold you into the right human, because the one thing that I enjoyed about public school was I didn't really learn a lot. What I learned was how to get the answer. Instead of some parents saying, I know the right solution, now go. I would want to teach the child how to fish.
Yes, I hear that.
That's what I'm saying about imprinting.
And you relate to that big time, because in fourth grade, what did you do when you didn't know the answers to a quiz?
Right, you made up your own Chinese pictograph.
You filled it in, right?
Yes,
Chinese pictograph.
Yes, I like my Chinese pictographs. Okay.
You how-to'd a situation,
but not because my parents taught me. Because
no, you're so resilient.
Here's where I think the parenting has taken a misstep over the past maybe 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, one was telling me, this is how you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because even that, people ask me, your mother had 10 kids. How are they all doing so well? Mm. It's just my mother ended up being the exact mother for me, just like you could be the exact mother for other people. My mother knew she would, whether consciously or whatever, just factually speaking, she was spread thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
We were very on our own. She was very bare bones. You're going to be sheltered, fed, and educated, which is already more than most. Yeah, in the end, she did quiet things, you know, like my mom graduated university the same year that I graduated, but mm-hmm. she did it over 12 years. She took a night class once a week. As her, you know, getting, and then suddenly she never spoke about it. We knew she had papers due and stuff. Oh, Ma's working. She would put us to bed. And then suddenly she was graduating. We were like, huh?
Yeah.
We were like, this bitch is graduating. Mm-hmm. Like, it just was so constant that my mother had one night of school. She never talked about it. But that type of tenacity, slow and steady, we just saw. She knew she couldn't. And she didn't even do this purposely. It was all accidental. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be there all the time. So I do think that I see, not that self-raising, it also has problems, but I do think the over-coddling or I want to do this, show my kids how to do this or do this. I think we just need to take a step. I think it's not working out.
Yeah.
And I think now with AI and I can't even imagine what their world is going to look like, but I do think it's going to be a pivoting type of world.
Part of what I think about is the world and what the world would look like for a child to come into, number one. So that's kind of where we talk about like why we would want to adopt is like, we don't need to bring
It's like, you're already here. I'm here. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. We're here. Takes a lot of work as a lesbian couple to get there, number one. But I also think that I really agree with what you were saying about this kind of overprotective, over-helicoptery, over-controlling system that parents seem, and of course we're all speaking as non-parents, so like whatever.
We understand, but it's a different world.
Yeah, it's a different world once you're in it. But I think that like all of the attention and the intensity that is put on the family system and the child and what the child is going to do is so intense. And I think you're right that like my philosophy as a parent is, or if I were to be a parent, is really like my purpose is to allow space for this individual
to be an
individual.
But here's the thing, you could have a baby and that all goes out the window.
For sure.
As soon as you have a baby, it's like night and day. It's like you cannot predict how you're going to be as a parent. You cannot predict how you're going to be. You cannot predict the world. There's kind of no way
to know.
Switching gears, let me ask you this question. If you could touch fake boobs again, would you come at it differently?
Yeah, if Gab wanted ever, I would love hers. I didn't know that you can ask somebody if they have
fake boobs, if they're fake.
I had no problem. I mean, I cut my tits off. Who am I to say so? If somebody wants more tits, I'm not going to judge them. I wanted less. It works, you know.
What made you decide?
Do you have tits?
Sadly, yes. They're
big. What are you going to do? Oh my God.
They're massive.
I'm over them.
Wait.
Oh, you're over them?
When I told her that you'd had top surgery, she was like, oh, lucky. What made you decide to do it?
As soon as I heard of it, I'm like, yeah.
You just never wanted.
Very good at making decisions for myself. This is a thing about being self-raised to some extent. Mm. It's like even starting stand-up or even doing like, I remember when I was in Montreal and I was starting to work in accounting and I finally had money every 2 weeks. I was like, so good. And then I started thinking like, I was always creative as a kid, but I never thought like, you know, I could. I knew other people could, rich kids could, but I never thought like, oh, I'm going to study English. Mm. No way. What are you? You want to be like, you know, so. And I heard a whisper about, I heard about stand up because I was in Montreal and the Just for Laughs Festival was there and big deal in the comedy world. And I'm kind of like, yeah. It was a whisper. And then, like, the whisper was getting louder. And then it was, like, blaring. And then it was, like, sirens. And fine, I'll do it. Try. You know? But now I can hear the whisper from miles away. I don't even wait for the blare.
Oh, I love that.
Now that instinct is so fine-tuned.
You can
hearing
hear
myself.
Yeah, I was going to say.
From, I could be in Saudi Arabia. Rob, I hear loud and clear. Loud and fucking clear.
That's amazing. That's a
and
gift.
And so that was the thing with the top surgery. I was very early to doing it. Mm. But then I thought, well, in my head, I said, if I ever wanted a tattoo, I would wait a year.
Mm. Interesting.
So then I was like, if you want surgery, that's 2 years. So during that 2 years, I was researching the best top surgeons. There's certain things you don't want to buy on sale, you know, probably surgery and a parachute, something,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a couple things you don't fuck around with.
When you go to the beach, do you just take your shirt off?
I do sometimes. Sometimes I swim with a shirt still. Depends. I don't like to scare children and I'm not, you know.
That's the part that kind of, I don't know how I would react.
Well, how do you go to the beach now? Do you wear
a full hoodie and sweatpants?
Okay, perfect. So you might still want to do that. You might still be used to that. But you might, if you're private, Gab and I, naked. First of all, I'd rather be naked than in like a bathing suit.
Okay, that's fair.
Like I'm, you know, like a girl's bathing suit, something like this. That's awful. But yeah, Gab and I'm topless a lot now. For me, it's like scrolling in bed after the shower. Like, to me, like the day to day is just incredible.
I
just
bet.
Putting a shirt on, it never, it's like people ask me, what's it like living in LA? It's like, I never get sick of a beautiful day. Mm. I got out today. I'm like,
beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. Like I can, every day I put a shirt on, it doesn't get old.
What state
every
are you day. From?
New York originally.
Oh, okay. What part?
Do you have to ask that Brown question? Heights. Do you have a bagel order?
Yeah, I like a tuna fish bagel.
A tuna fish bagel?
Yeah.
On what?
On a bagel.
I know, but what kind of bagel?
I'll do a poppy seed or I'll do an everything bagel.
Mm. Do you hate LA bagels?
There's some good ones.
Where? Tell us.
I don't want to say because I don't need it. The lines are already
Oh, we crazy. Used to live by one that the line is stupid
okay,
every day.
Okay, so bleep these.
Okay, bleeping.
I like
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Bleep. Thank you.
I love
Right? What am I saying? It's not very good and they're out of shit a lot. And you can bleep that.
I grew up eating Sam's Bagels on Larchmont Boulevard.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Sam's is
and
okay.
They're super pillowy and like dense. I know it's not a New York
they
bagel.
They put too much on their bagel.
Yeah.
We have got to calm down with food.
It's a lot.
Just please.
please.
Doing this much a bagel. I'm like, it's the whole point was you grab a bagel.
And go.
I don't know. There's too much going on. With food.
It's a lot. We watch
Sam's,
a lot of...
It's soggy.
The bagel like soggy?
I don't... Yeah.
No.
If you order because they put... I'm telling you, it's
mounds
soggy.
Of cream cheese and then it gets soggy.
You don't even know a non-soggy bagel.
Probably
that
not.
You don't think it's soggy. But you know what I mean, Raven? Like, she's never had the experience.
Oh, no. I've had, like, a good New York bagel. I know what you're... But my bagel, I don't... I will...
And growing
I'll have
up,
light.
Larchmont feels like it was built yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
I grew up in New York as well. I grew up in Queens area, and I like an egg salad bagel on
Love
an egg
that.
Bagel.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and it has to be delicious. A little soggy on the inside.
No,
I don't like sog.
I do. Just the brim. Just
they
the brim.
They both like sog. That's why they're married.
I don't like sog.
Sog one, sog two.
Sog one, sog two.
I don't like sog. I know you don't like being told what to do, but Raven
now,
did just
Raven,
tell
you
to do something.
Raven, you were a child star, though. Where did that film? Didn't that film here?
No.
I was.
Oh.
Yeah,
where
I filmed
did
in
film?
New York, in Queens.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, that's why we know LA, but, I mean, New York, but.
How many years did you do that? You know I worked
three
on a
years.
Kid show.
I know, you won an Emmy
for it. You won an
for
Emmy
it.
For it.
You won an Emmy for it.
Thank you so much. But I love some of those kids that we, you know, and some less than others. I won't name names. They're all grown now.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, but kids coming and pitching. I'm like, you're not working on the show. Let me pitch you. What's going on here?
Yeah. Some of her kids used to do that on one of her shows, and I was like, that's wild.
The kids on our show were smarter than regular kids. They were doing full school.
Yeah.
They were doing full scripts. They were working fucking kids. This is the way to raise a child.
Yes.
Unless you get into the drugs thing, which you're very lucky about. But you did the dyke thing. Something's got to
give. Listen,
get
something's got to give.
Something.
I'm in LA. It's either sex,
wait, when
drugs.
Are you doing top surgery? I just got in trouble for encouraging top surgery. Somebody DM'd me. Like,
was it John Mayer?
Was it John Mayer?
No, but can you imagine?
Can you imagine if John?
No,
John
I low key. I know he has some type of. I low key had to like get in. So it's so funny because I know he's got some sort of sponsorship with AP. I'm a big watch person. I love watches. Have my whole life. When I was a kid, I had a Beauty and the Beast
That's
watch.
A pretty watch.
And I would. The cap was Belle's head, and then you open it. It had digital time.
Yeah.
Me every two. Ma, ask me what time it is. Ma, ask me what time it is.
So cute.
Could you for fuck's sake? Like, she would just be, I'd be like, Ma, ask me what time it is. Like, nobody was asking me what time it is.
So annoying.
But I low key, I'm like, John Mayer on my DMs. I have nothing. Maybe. So I low key, I was like talking about his watches. I'm like, yeah, I would love like the mini Gold AP, which I actually saw Justin Bieber just got for Father's Day. But that's one of my dream watches, obviously. Crickets. So we'll say.
Put your hand in the pot.
But I want to know what John Mayer actually DM'd you about.
He just loves me. Big fan.
She told you she gets good dick, even when she's a.
Damn. Yeah. He thinks he's a big fan of my work, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Okay, take your big dick hand and put it in the pot.
Okay, what do I have to do?
You got to reach. You got to reach for it. There's something in there, and we're going to talk about it.
It's so full, right? So many choices.
So many random.
Wait, it's wet.
Yeah,
it's soggy.
We tried to put flowers in there.
Oh, see, it's soggy.
It's hold soggy on, hold.
Okay.
Are you Jewish?
Laura.
No.
Oh, wow.
You do a little bit to me.
I was just saying your name.
I'm sorry. Wait, what's her name?
Her name is Laura.
Oh, Laura. I thought you said Devorah, which is my sister's name. And I'm like, you're definitely Jewish.
Her name was Devorah. She was definitely Jewish. Raven thought I was Jewish for the longest time.
What are you?
Not Jewish. Just, yeah, like a white girl.
I like you guys together quite a bit.
She was really bummed because she thought that in marrying me, a Jewish girl, she was going to get an upgrade.
I was marrying Rich, too, and then I found out.
Yeah, but you're rich.
Doesn't mean as rich as me.
Really? Wait, what? You're wealthier?
Yeah, we can talk about it
after. Wait, why? No, we'll talk about it now. You brought up some shit I didn't want to talk about. The fuck?
And you didn't talk about it, so
no,
read the
I
thing.
I talked about some of it. I still want. I'm going to have some cuts after this. Believe you me. Believe you
Trust
me.
Trust me, we are too.
Yeah, we are too, Robbie.
You got a nice pool? Why don't you invite us over?
Come over.
Wait.
We have a nice pool now.
Okay, but where does your family live?
They left. I grew up in Hancock Park.
She grew up in Hancock Park.
What do you mean they left?
They moved away.
Where did they leave?
Well, my dad, he decided to move back to New York where he's originally from.
Okay, great.
My mom decided to move to the Pacific Northwest because she wanted farmland.
The Pacific Northwest.
Like Seattle.
Oh, but terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of lesbians.
Very depressing.
And she's not a lesbian, but moved there anyway. Yeah, she had...
Do you have siblings?
My sister, Mimi, moved also there. She is an esthetician, so she does all the face stuff.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. What is our topic about?
We're cutting
privacy.
All of that.
Privacy. No, we're not.
Yes, see, because I want privacy. Why?
No, because you don't want to. See, the best thing the rich could do is like, I was rich. It's amazing. I hate when the rich do the other thing. Like, they're going to be poor. It's like, we don't also want you to be poor. We just also want to be rich.
Yeah, this
and
is very
being,
true.
By the way, getting richer, and I tell this to people, I could not recommend enough. I don't know how to put it into words. Money makes you so much happier and better. There's not even a question. So put that to rest.
You know why part of
being poor, horrible. Okay.
Being rich.
Rich people born rich, they might not have the happiness because they used to it. But if you're poor and you get money, much better.
Mm.
Much better.
Part of why I feel like I have to stand like 10 toes down about it and speak with my whole chest is because so many people think I married Raven just for money.
So say I didn't. Say I'm richer.
I do. That's what I just did.
So do it right here.
I didn't marry Raven for money. I'm richer.
Wait, you married Raven because you're attracted to her.
Yes.
I married Raven.
It's so soggy it broke.
I married Raven because I'm really attracted to her, even her boobs. And she might remove them and that's fine with me because I don't care.
What are we talking about today, Robbie?
It's called privacy.
It's called privacy.
Well, because it's in 2-1. I don't know. It's such a big topic. I mean, this is the topic.
Yeah. We want to know your thoughts on it. Did you grow up with any privacy? Having that many siblings?
No, I would say the only privacy I had was in the bathroom. Because...
How many bathrooms did you have?
One.
So everyone shared one bathroom. That's hard. You'd had short amounts of time in the bathroom.
I can't even begin to describe to you poverty.
Uh-huh.
I know you cannot. It is so... It is impossible to describe, but I will attempt. We were 10 kids, my great uncle Eddie and my mother, in a duplex that technically had 3 bathrooms, mm-hmm. except for the downstairs bathroom was not even.
This is in New York.
No, this is now in Montreal.
Okay,
as a teenager, when I started to have more privacy in the bathroom. As a child, I had no privacy in the bathroom because I was always in a bath with 2 other people at mm-hmm. least. So, yeah, it's 10 people, it's 12 people sharing a bathroom.
A lot.
Now there was a little toilet in my mother's room, so that was reprieve, but we did have one shower.
Do you find that you need privacy in your relationship with your wife?
0, but we love to be together. Something with Gab and I is we just love to be together. Like, it's as simple, like, people are like, what is it? It's like, this is the first one where I enjoy the hang and the cuddles and, you know, even if not sexual, we have a lot of non-sexual intimacy. We're always touching, we're always together. We just love to be together. So I could feel, also growing up with 2 other people in a room, I could feel alone enough with somebody else in the room. I'm able to
shut
like
down,
as a kid I had
off,
a book or whatever, it's like, yeah, there's 2 other girls here, but it's like, I don't know, I'm able to be alone whilst being around other people. But the ways in which I don't like sharing is a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I moved out at 17, you can't imagine this apartment, Miranda.
No, I can't. But paint the picture for me.
Okay, we were across from an aqueduct, which looked like Auschwitz. One of the ways I thought about being rich was like when I went to rich people's houses, they had, it was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I go up, there was holes in, like we didn't have a handle on the door because somebody had busted it through. And so it's like, yeah, there was no like even door or like things were smashed all the time. Everything was cockroaches. Everything was horrible. But rich people, even if they didn't have like the, like it was neat. They had a cleaning lady or something.
Yeah.
So when I moved out, I became very neat. I was like, even if it's just the studio, like I'm going to keep neat. And I'm extremely neat. And the having my own bathroom has just, it changed my life. This was the impetus for Gab and I to move. We were staying at her her house for a while, but she only had one bathroom, three bedroom. And Gab has a lot of accoutrements.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a toothbrush. I have a toothbrush. That's it. She didn't even have double sinks. So I'm like, babe, you're not the type of lady. No offense.
Yeah.
Like, even if we had one bathroom, two sinks, I could do that. But now we have two bathrooms. One's a guest bathroom, but it's my bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she has the doubles. Like, I'm supposed to technically have one sink, but I don't even like the bee. Near the accoutrements.
Yeah, we have separate bathrooms as well, and I have totally pared down my toiletry. I have this new stuff called AKT Act, and it's concentrated body wash and deodorant and lotion. They sit right there, and then a toothbrush and my one toothbrush, and that's it. But then
I could never.
She could. No. She can. She has a like. I can't.
By the way, and I love Gab. Like our favorite thing too. I love when Gabby's getting ready, and I'm in the room, like. I love all the shit she does. It's just I'm looking for a toothbrush. It's not even, you know. And growing up, we had a mug of 1,000 toothbrushes.
Mm.
Okay. Do you know what mold is? Have you seen mold?
I do. I'm allergic to it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You have developed. I'm sure I'm not. Right. I'm sure I could live amongst any type of a
mold. My immune system is probably so weak from all the cleanliness I grew up in.
So, yeah, the cleanliness was the first thing. And then having my own bathroom. That's a thing, though.
Probably.
Because as a kid, I would be in the bathroom. If it was a second over 10 minutes, Ma, she's still in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Ma, she's in the bathroom. It was like nonstop. Like if you were in the bathroom and the showers would run cold. Like I just like, it was just horrible.
I can actually relate to that a little bit because one time I went to summer camp in Big Bear.
Yeah.
And I was.
Relatable already.
I hated it. And
of course, very relatable. We
were in this cabin, all of us in the campers, and we all had to share this one bathroom, and we had timed showers, 2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes is crazy.
And I remember.
No, that is poor. Two minutes is crazy.
I remember going into the shower, and before I even like had soaped up, somebody was knocking, 2 minutes, let's go. And I called my mom crying and I said, I need to leave. Like it was traumatic.
My mother would unplug the phone when she sent us to camp. No news is good. Like she just, but goodbye.
So you went to camp?
Yes, we went to summer camp for free. Not the concentration kind. I went to a Jewish summer camp for free for 1 month of summer.
Mm.
And we were not allowed. My mother, at one point, like my mother had never written us letters that I remember that the counselor wrote us a letter, like, because there was like people, some rich, it was a really rich camp that I went to for free.
That's cool.
It was good, but then you realize how poor you are when it's like,
is that like the original DEIs, like the original, like, ship them in?
Yeah, like, I was wearing like big t-shirts that somebody got running a bank marathon or something. Like, I didn't have like the shit.
90s classics.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, like we'd wear them now.
People came with like toolboxes. They had candy and stuff, like just like different things. And every night, like these kids would get letters and like packages. And I would sit on my bed and nothing ever called for me.
Oh,
that one day I got a letter and they were like, Rifki Hoffman. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, there's no way. And she was like, yep, you got a letter. I'm like, there's no way. And I could cry thinking of it. I got the letter. I'm like, this is not my mom's handwriting.
Oh, damn.
They wrote a letter. But then my mother got the memo on the letters. And then 1 year, and because I would write one letter as soon as I got there. Send money.
Immediately.
Yeah, like because it was a canteen and I wanted to buy a popsicle or something like that. It's crazy that they made you buy money with money. But one day, I must have been 14. I was bored as can be at this camp. And I said, send money and a Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
And so help me God, I got a package. And my mother had sent me a Rubik's Cube.
Yes, to Mom. This day, yes, Constance.
To this day, I cannot believe that she had the wherewithal to go there and actually do that for me. It was so amazing. And I remember it. Ma, thank you for that Rubik's Cube. I mean, because, she just was like, no news, good news. It's good for these kids. They'll be there. They'll be at a rich, they'll do programming and basketball. And she just was so, grateful that they took us to this camp.
Yeah.
And she never wanted to make waves. And then, and if I complained to her, she's like, do you know what it takes to get you in this camp?
Yeah.
You be good.
Yeah.
You listen to them.
Yeah.
And she sent me, Ma. It's like my mother did these little things that would, once she woke me up, we were very spread thin, as you know. And one day she woke me up, but she's like, you want to see a movie? To me, in my head, it's middle of the night. It's at least 12 a.m.
Yeah, it's like 7.
Okay, it's winter. It's in Montreal, maybe 12 or 13. She goes, yeah, just me and you. I'm like, what? She goes, come on. You got to put your winter coat on. I'm like, what? We're going now. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, don't wake up the other girls. Like, don't tell them. And she just took me to a movie downtown. We went on the metro. We went on the subway. And we went to see a movie. And it was this movie theater that played old movies.
Hmm.
Like, maybe not too old. I think we saw G.I. Jane, which explains a lot. The movie 13, which my mother was very...
Yeah.
But they maybe played movies that were a few years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like $2 a movie or something. Downtown Montreal. And we just went. And then I came back in. We took our... And she had enough money for a popcorn and a drink. Like, we went together. And it's like... And then it's like, don't tell no one. Like, so maybe she did this for everyone. Like, there were small... It was very few and far between, but extremely meaningful.
I love that. Yeah, I was going to say that's so meaningful, and it's obviously such a core memory for you, because putting myself in her position for a second.
So hard to do.
Yeah, you have 10 kids, and you have...
Please, put yourself in my mother's position. You have got 10 kids on welfare.
No, I'm just saying, yes, think of it, though, really.
You must laugh all day. It's actually amazing. No, I think with the four of us, I think it's a good time.
Well, I'm saying...
No, I actually think it's a good time. It's very upsetting.
I am empathetic.
I know.
And I'm saying that to have 10 kids and to be trying to feed them, you're going to school, you're trying to make more of yourself, then you also know that every single one of these people has their own need and you can't give yourself to everybody. The fact that she did that is so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And I agree.
Continue. We love you.
I'm good. I'm getting increasingly. And I just think that I forgot what I was going to say now, truly.
She's sweating.
I'm sweating.
So I want to say that I love that. That's a version of privacy that I actually want to bring back to the teapot, because your mother found a private moment for you.
To have with her.
And I think that that's beautiful. I think that, we already talked about kids in this episode, but... It's those moments that can mean more than anything.
She couldn't plan that she would. First of all, my mother had all of us by 30. So she's not even thinking, how am I going to be a mother? How am I going to? She's just going. My little sister Yehuda, shout out, always, she goes, this woman is the definition of one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just, because she's just one foot in front of the other. So to plan, I don't know. But
would you tell me and plan a private moment between you and your wife? It's your, let's say, your 5th year anniversary.
God willing.
What's your private moment with your wife that you're doing?
I mean, there's no limit to what I will do for Gabby. So it's very hard to, we're very romantic with each other and we're very generous with each other. So, I mean, I really don't know. I've already I could not predict what I would do for our 5-year, but it will be amazing.
Okay.
Trump it up. Thank you. It'll be the greatest birthday anybody has ever seen.
As you have become more and more well-known.
It's fantastic. Thank you so much. I know. Everybody who's coming on.
And you're becoming richer and richer, and you have people like John Mayer sliding into your DMs. Do you at all feel more protective of your privacy? In a way, like, do you want,
I don't know. I'm always ebb and flow. It's not like it's all, everything is always an ongoing conversation. Everything.
Do you ride a bike?
No. In LA? Are you out of your mind?
Yes, apparently I am. I don't ride a bike either. I just think it would be funny if you did.
I was going to, I call my wife.
I used to bike all the time in Toronto and Canada. I mean, yeah. I biked to work and back when I worked on that kid show all the time.
I called my wife one day and I was like, babes, I want to get a three-wheeled bike, a trike, an adult trike. I think I might do it with a basket.
And also the three-wheel. I'm like, you mean four-wheel?
No, I mean two in the front, one in the back. Or one in the front, two in the back, because I'm really bad with balance.
So you're going to be a dyke on a trike.
No, I do want to get a little electric bike.
It's cute.
Like a Vespa?
No.
Are you unfamiliar with bikes?
Yes.
Like tricycle, never heard of it. You mean like a four-wheeler? No, I mean like a tricycle.
A tricycle.
I want to get an electric bike. Oh, you mean like a scooter?
Isn't
no,
it?
No, I mean like an electric bike.
I think that a tricycle is with four wheels, though.
No, a try, T-R-Y. My wife has dyscalculia. She has dyscalculia. She doesn't do numbers.
I do. Mental. I know now.
She tested. Okay,
but where did you go to school? I am curious.
No university.
I didn't go to university.
Oh, wow.
I went
there
to
university.
There you
go. I went to Campbell Hall for high school.
Wait, by the way, that's amazing that you didn't go to university.
I mean,
because what a scam that is.
Where did you go to university?
I went to what people call...
an Ivy League.
No, I went to McGill, which is in Montreal.
Yeah, but you got communications. That's not like a real...
Well, I did accounting and finance.
So
and
you
then I had
know
a very
how to
small
do math.
Minor in communications
she
because I wanted
math.
To be in the art program.
Oh, she does math.
Yeah, no, I majored in accounting because they said...
That's wild.
That they said, and communications was my minor because it was the first year that they had that. So that's where I got... I had some film classes I got to take or the history of radio or just my fun artsy classes. I also felt like as a lesbian being in accounting and finance, they were very about like not working for the man. It was very political on campus. Mm. But I was in the school for free. I got a scholarship to go to this school and I only applied to the school because it was local. I was in Montreal. So it was free for me to apply.
Love that.
If my grades were good enough, I could go potentially for free. So I never applied nowhere else. And it's like the Harvard of Canada, or as we like to say, the Harvard is the McGill of the U.S. So I don't know. But yeah, but it's a very good school randomly that happens to be in Montreal and happens to be local.
It's amazing.
So when I went there, all the kids from the U.S. who came there were all rich because it's very expensive for them to go to the school. It felt like the dykes were really judgy about... Well, they got to study gender studies and women's studies and art history. And I'm studying finance
numbers.
And accounting.
You had a goal.
You know, and they're like, oh, you're working with men. It's like, you're rich. You could study whatever the fuck you want. This doesn't matter. Like, I got to be able to somehow make something of these wasted years in school.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, you're not taking 3 years out to go to school. It's 3 years in Montreal. And then, like, you got to work. Like, so, yeah. But they told me that in accounting, you can get a job. That summer, they'll give you an internship paid. So I was
That's awesome.
That sounds great. And I got a computer for keeps. It was amazing.
Babes, maybe we should go to an accredited school just to
no,
show
don't.
Up.
Just
You're
to
accredited.
Show Robbie.
That's a Raven? Done. Accredited.
What is my major for that?
That was only 3 years, you want to tell me?
No, that was 5 years.
Oh.
Yeah, I got technically I got my master's and my doctorate. In physical comedy.
Wait, so you had 3 years and then 5 years? What was the 3 years?
Oh, well, if you really want to go through my school, that's it. 3 years was Cooper.
The,
I mean,
don't say
3 years
Cooper.
Was
hey, Cosby.
Cosby. 4 years was Cooper. And then 5 years was That's So Raven. And
any,
then 6 years
for Raven's
Home. Any
songs with Cosby for you?
I was three.
No, but he never did anything.
No, I was not. No. And
okay.
I would know because I was in school and I was at work and I was home.
Okay, you know what? That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know what?
My
At
parents
least
were
that's
very
a
involved.
I'll
very
tell you, that's a great, I know. My mother is the same. Like, we could not be molested if you tried.
Yeah, no. No
There's
one was touching
no way.
Us.
Like, I remember I got an audition for Degrassi.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Which was a Canadian show. Degrassi Jr., they were bringing it back. I was a very bright redhead. They were looking for a redhead. They came to our school or something. I don't even know how I got it. But some type of director was like, yeah, like, oh, we would want to see her for an audition. I was so excited because I never really thought about acting, but I definitely wanted to get out. I was like, I knew something. I would look around my house. I'd be like, we got to get out of here. And, you know, just early on, he's like, I don't know how, whatever. And so I was so excited. So I did this audition and then I got good. I was good at the audition. that they wanted to bring me to Toronto, which is a 5-hour awesome. Drive from Montreal. And the school or the person, they called my mother at home to ask about taking me. And she's like, she's not going nowhere with you. I don't know who you are. Okay, but she's not going with some man.
Yeah,
this teacher.
Exactly.
She's like, and my mother came into my room. She's like, the acting program's over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're not going to be acting. And that was it. She was like, you're staying right here. You're not going to Toronto. I don't know who this is. And that was the end of that. That was the end of my acting career. She just was not
somebody. Not really, though, because you got hacks, so.
No, exactly. And then it actually came back. But I think it was, you know, she was smart. She couldn't go to Toronto with me. She's not going, you know. Just like we had the Big Brother, Big Sister program when we moved to Montreal, my mother felt bad. She had 5 sons who didn't have a father figure.
Mm.
So we were enrolled in the Big Brother, Big Sisters program. I had a big sister. One of my brothers had different big brothers. And we kind of went out on Sundays separately to have one-on-one grown-up time, whatever. And then my brother, Schneer. It's racist for you to say it any more times.
What?
I'm kidding.
I like it. I would say
anti-Semitic. If you
question Schneer, do not start.
I went to the JCC as a child. Oh. I went to the Jewish Community Center.
I know Jewish people, so I cannot.
I had Shabbat every Friday.
I love it. My brother Schneer's big brother had wanted to do camping. Some type of Boy Scouts type thing where they would go camping in Montreal, north, you know, whatever, for a night. And my mother said the same thing. He's not going nowhere with you.
I would like to say a clean toast to your mom for protecting you and your privacy.
Thank you.
Hey, babes, what are we doing for the toast this episode?
You didn't toast you. So we actually have
you have to take a sip. No, hold on. Wait, is there nothing in there?
Correct!
No. You made me take that block. You need to put something in.
We'll do it after the toast. We'll do it after the toast.
I can't. We have to do it after.
A few moments later.
We'd love to toast to you and your mother, Constance, for taking care of your privacy. And sip. Oh, delicious.
Today we are toasting to the French... To French Polynesia.
Yes, French Polynesia.
What? French Polynesia has announced the creation of the world's largest marine protected area.
Yes.
The MPA will cover the entirety of the country's exclusive economic zone, almost 2 million square miles.
2 million?
And will restrict extractive practices like deep sea mining and bottom trawling.
Thank God.
Of that 425,000 square miles will be designated as a highly or fully protected area where only traditional coastal fishing, ecotourism, and scientific exploration will be allowed. Do you care?
Not at all.
I care because I think it's fantastic. We have been raping our oceans for I don't know how long, overfishing.
Do you eat fish?
I have no fish fillets.
Okay, so privacy. Then you can't talk about this.
Yes, I can because they overfish, and I think that we consume too much food, and I think that the practices have gotten out of hand, and I'm so excited for French Polynesia to have just clamped down and sequester 2 million acres. Hey, Robbie, tell us where we can find you.
My podcast, Too Far, the New York Times calls addictive, is Patreon only. We do not accept any corporate dollars as they won't give them to us. We are 3 episodes a month, $5 a month divided by 3, $166 for less than the price of a cup of coffee, for less than the price of supporting a child in need overseas. You can subscribe to the Too Far Pod. I'm Robbie Hoffman on Instagram for nudes and any of my comedy dates.
Beautiful.
It's been a pleasure. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for watching Tea Time.
We
don't forget to subscribe.
We have to go. Jake Bell's on his way over.